Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3. And just in case you haven't been here the past couple weeks, just wanted to catch you up on what we've been teaching about is a series on the soul of man, the different parts of us that make up our soul. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about the mind. Last week was the emotions, and today will be the heart. So we're going to hear a special message from Mr. Heart. As you know, I've divided the parts of our soul into different characters, and so they could kind of tell you their story from their perspective. And so the purpose is just to help us understand how the different parts of our soul work together, how God designed it, how God created us. And so if you have Colossians chapter 3, if you could stand with me for the reading, Colossians chapter 3, we'll read verses 1 through 17. Excuse me. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now, as we read, if you could just think about the scripture that we read from the perspective of your heart and your heart being applied. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And in whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let's say a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you again just for this series that you've laid on my heart, and it's been a blessing to me. And I thank you that as you give me the ability to teach it, and it's been a blessing to others. And just as we understand your soul, or the soul of man that you created within us better, Lord, we thank you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So Mr. Heart has some important words to say to us today. Hello, everyone. I am Mr. Heart. I'm a close cousin of Mr. Emotion. We are a little different, as Mr. Emotion is a man of feeling, and I am a man of desire. But we are closely related in the fact that we are made up of only reactions and no real actions of our own. We are under the influence of Mr. Mind and Mr. Will. And as I said, I am a man of desire. I am passion. I am love. I am appetite. There is not a day that goes by that I do not want something. But as Mr. Emotion's feelings are only reactions to the actions and thoughts of Mr. Will and Mind, so all of my wants and desires are only reactions to whatever I am fed by Mr. Will. My desires just tend to last a lot longer than the feelings of Mr. Emotion. The fact is, however, my desire is not my own. My passion is not my own. My love and my appetites are not my own. They all belong to Mr. Will. Truth be told, I am an addict. Now, addict is a strong word, and in most cases, it is not a good thing. But in case you were unaware, there are some things that are okay to be addicted to. One definition of the word addiction is a strong inclination to do, use, or indulge in something repeatedly. In other words, it is a hunger, an appetite, if you will. Simply put, I, the heart, will have a hunger, an appetite, or an addiction for whatever I am fed. One might also call me a follower versus the leader that Mr. Will is. I am constantly listening to Mr. Mind to find out what information Will is feeding him. And whatever Mr. Will does and Mr. Mind thinks about, that is what I find myself falling in love with. The more they do it, the more I want it. Mr. Emotion talked to you last week about fulfilling the purpose of our Creator. My purpose is to love God with all that I am, be full with the love that the Creator loves me with, and take that love and pour it out on other people. The scriptures given to us by our Creator clearly indicate what I should love. Love the Lord, Matthew 22:37. Love the law of the Lord, the Psalms. Love things above, Colossians 3:2. And these are the good things to be addicted to. There have been times, however, when I have been addicted to things not of the Lord. And as the body that we dwell in develops an appetite for something it is continually fed, so do I, Mr. Heart, develop an appetite for whatever I am fed by Mr. Will. It is entirely up to him what I get addicted to. There have been times when he has fed me evil things. And as Mr. Emotion pointed out last week, if Mr. Will is listening to the wrong voices, he tends to pretend the evil offered by the enemy is a good thing, and he shares it with Mr. Mind, and they decide it would be good for us to indulge, and before you know it, I have a taste for the evil, and it tastes good because of the pleasure that the enemy wraps it up in. And once I have a taste, I only want more. I desire what I am fed. After we have indulged in something sinful, the guilt sets in through the conscience of Mr. Mind. We know that the Holy Spirit is grieved, and therefore we are grieved. I am heavy. Mr. Emotion is falling apart. Mr. Mind has to change from listening to his imagination and listen to the Spirit. And then he tells Mr. Will, we need to confess. And Mr. Will humbles himself and does. And because we are saved when we confess our sin, our Creator is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then I am relieved, and Mr. Emotion is now joyful. Mr. Mind and Mr. Will are at peace, knowing that the communication with our Savior has been restored. But soon after we confess, I find within myself a hunger for the very thing we just confessed. How can that be? Because I have had a taste for it. I now have an appetite, and the appetite wants to be fed. So in order for me to stop having an appetite for this sinful thing, the appetite has to die. Not slowly weaned away by still feeding it here and there, because as long as I have a taste for it, I still have the appetite. The appetite must die. And for the appetite to die, Mr. Will has to kill it by stopping feeding it. And it's painful sometimes because my appetite is starving to death. But what helps in this process is when Mr. Will remembers that I am a creature of desire and that I need something to fill the new void. I must therefore desire the right things. So he, Mr. Will, must begin to feed them to me. He must feed me with the Word of God, with spending time with God, with serving God, and with fellowship with other Christians who also want to serve God. Now, while I have spent a lot of time talking about the power that Mr. Will has over me, I must admit that like Mr. Emotion and Mr. Mind, I do have a lot of influence on Mr. Will. Whatever I desire or currently have an appetite for plays a huge role in Mr. Will's decision making. Very often, he acts on whatever I want. But remember who placed my wants there to begin with. So in reality, my desires are the desires of Mr. Will. People say sometimes, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. While that sounds nice, it's not exactly true. The heart of the problem is really the problem of the will. Scripture explains it well when it says, mine eye affecteth mine heart. In other words, I get a desire for what Mr. Will looks at. Then the scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Mr. Will puts into the heart whatever he wants, but then whatever is in the heart, he becomes. Talk about dangerous. So what has to happen to keep us from falling into the pattern of Mr. Will feeding me sin, and then I use that sin to influence him to keep doing it? Or if we have fallen into this pattern, how do we get out of it? Mr. Will has to deliberately choose to listen to the Holy Spirit and decide that he is absolutely going to obey God, no matter what I or Mr. Emotion think about it. He has to decide to do what's right, even when I don't want him to. But when he does, I will soon completely change and want to do what is right. And as before I go, as Mr. Emotion and Mr. Mind mentioned, they went through a great change the day that the Holy Spirit came. That change had a profound effect on me as well. Before that day, I thought I knew what love was. But I didn't realize at the time how superficial my love was and how it was constantly changing. But once the Spirit came, I now have something solid to put my love in because I met the person who is love, Jesus Christ. And I now have his love, which is greater than all, to pour into others. Do I end up loving things I shouldn't sometimes? Sure. But I now have a Father who has whose love never leaves me, but draws me back to him and teaches me to love him with all that I am again. Thank you, Mr. Hart. Let's take a look at some scripture. You'd be amazed how much scripture, I'm not even touching the tip of the iceberg, how much scripture throughout the Word of God has to do with your heart. Where is your heart? What is in your heart? There's so much of it. It's unbelievable. And so I put a bunch of scriptures together, and I'm going to go through them fairly quickly to try to get them all, and I'll comment on some of them. And some points that I wrote down, the first and foremost is God knows your heart. Number one, God knows your heart. He knows what's in it. He knows what you're feeding it. He knows where your desires are. He knows if it's divided. Psalm 44, 20 through 21 says, if we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. He knows, the Bible says, the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows our thought before we think it. Though your will might be masking what is truly in your heart with fake emotions, like we talked about last week, God still knows your heart. So keep that in mind. First and foremost, that's the number one thing we got to remember. God knows our heart. Keep that in mind now as we go through the rest of these points. Number two, God wants all of your heart. God wants all of your heart. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Number one, all thy heart, every bit of it. In other words, no reservations. Well, you know, we say, of course I love the Lord, but, you know, I'm going to give part of my heart to, and you name it. And we may not physically, mentally say that, but sometimes that's what our heart's doing inside. Our will is doing that. We're saying, oh, of course I love God, and I love him enough to go to church, and, you know, the times I'm supposed to be there, I'm there, and, you know, sometimes we read our Bible, but Monday through Saturday, you know, when we're distracted by who knows what in life, you know, our mind and our focus can just end up on something else, and our soon before you know it, we're giving our heart, our passions of our heart that should be given to the Lord, to other things. So no reservations. When we determine to love God with all of our heart, and you may say, well, if I love God with all my heart, but I am supposed to love people, how does that happen? I can't be divided with what God has told me. Well, yes, God tells us to love other people. But when you realize, when you love God first, when you determine, I'm going to love God with all my heart, it is then that God gives you the love to pour into other people. You now have his love and the ability to love other people the way we should. The verse also says, all thy soul. What is the soul? Our mind, will, emotions. With our mind, love God. Put our attention, decide, I'm going to love God. Our will, our emotions, love God. The verse says, all thy might, love God. In other words, it takes strength. It takes effort. And you've got to devote everything to loving God. You know, Jesus told the scribe, I think, in the New Testament, when he asked him, what is the greatest commandment? He said, the greatest commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it, you know, love others. Now I can't quote it word for word, but so I don't want to mess it up. But in other words, and then he said, on these two laws hang all the law and the prophets. And in other words, do everything else you do because you first love God. That is the reason to follow my will and do everything else I've told you to do. Psalm 111, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Simply put, you should love to praise the Lord, and you should give it all you've got, your whole heart, no reservations. Well, I do thank him for that, but I wish he could have done this. Instead of focusing on what God hasn't done for you, just praise God for what he's done for you and trust that he'll take care of you, even when you don't know how he's going to do it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Complete trust, no reservations. Well, I know he'll take care of me, but I have a little doubt. See, you have to believe God. We have to believe God in what he said he'll do, even when we don't know how he is going to do it, or even exactly what he's going to do. It just says trust in the Lord with all your heart, complete faith, believing in him. And if God has given you something to do, you have to determine that you're going to do what he has asked, no matter the outcome. You may think, well, Lord, I know what you want me to do, but it's going to affect me. It's going to affect those around me. I don't know. And God says, I know. I still want you to do it. I just want you to trust me, and I'll take care of it. Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with, guess what? All thy heart and with all thy soul. We have to continually be in a place where only God can get us out. In other words, seek him in everything, the little things and the big things. Even if you're not going through something hard, if you're not going through a hard time, you got life pretty easy, still mentally be in a place where it's only God who's going to help you. Even in the little things, in the big things. In other words, take everything to him. And God says, if you seek him with all your heart, seek him for everything, you will find him. All thy soul, it says again, all your mind, your will, and emotions, no reservations. Well, I prayed about that in church on Sunday, but now this is the middle of the week, so I don't, maybe you never said that, but sometimes we have that mentality without even realizing it. Oh, I prayed about it once a week ago. But God says, I want all your heart, and I want you to seek me with all that you am, consistently, until you see me move. And this brings us to point number three. We have to choose to give our heart to the Lord. Now, this is where a little bit of the Will comes in, and I'm looking forward to 2 weeks from now. We're gonna finally hear from Mr. Will. We've heard a lot about him through the other characters, but he'll have a chance to speak for himself in 2 weeks. So, but we have to choose to give our heart to the Lord. Psalm 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me." There's some times where we have messed up, and we know it. And we have to just pray that confession prayer and say, "Lord, I know I gave my heart to something that I was not supposed to, and I indulged in sin, and I am sorry. I recognize that. Please forgive me. Please cleanse me and help me. I need your help to get my affection, get my heart back on things above. Renew a right spirit within me." Colossians 3:2, we read this in our chapter, "Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." We have to choose to take our desires that we have given to other things, and we mentally, with our will, choose, "I'm putting my desire on Jesus Christ and on the things that please him." Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." He prepared his heart to do it. He knew it was something that God called him to do. He knew he could not do it without the Lord, and he prepared his heart. In other words, there was time, there was preparation that went in ahead of time to seeking the Lord. He prepared his heart to seek the Lord. He had to make his heart ready. In other words, he had to kick everything else out that shouldn't be there. Whatever's distracting me, whatever is pulling me, whatever is feeding that appetite, I have to kill it. I have to let it go because it's distracting me away from what God Almighty called me to do. And I have to get my heart ready and empty to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. This brings us to point number four. Point number four is we must protect our heart. We must protect it at all costs. Because in 1 Kings 11:4, and we know King Solomon, how God blessed him in his, when he first became king. And do you want wisdom or wealth? And he said, "I need wisdom." And God says, "Because you've asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you the wisdom and also bless you with the wealth." And he was the wealthiest man that ever lived, the wisest man that ever lived. He wrote much of the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, I believe, and Song of Solomon. But 1 Kings 11:4 says, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods," little g, gods, "and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." We've got to walk circumspectly, the Bible says. Walk with prudence and be aware of the potential danger of what could come if I, whatever situation we're in, could this lead me down a wrong path? How is this going to affect me? How is it going to pull at my heart if I do this? And there are some things in life that aren't necessarily sinful. They're just entertainment and things we enjoy doing, have fun. But we've got to be careful that we don't indulge so much that it's pulling our heart away from the Lord. Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Psalm 66:18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Psalm 139:23-24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Oh, let these verses be our prayers. Show me what's in my heart, Lord. There may be desires in there that are evil, they're not of you, and I'm just unaware that they're there. So show me, Lord. Just point them out, because I want to have a 100% clean and pure heart before you, Lord. Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I believe God takes this matter of the heart very, very seriously. Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. It's going to be letting God influence your heart, who's going to keep you standing. That alone, the counsel of the Lord is what will stand. Because our desires, they, as Mr. Hart said, they change. My love was all over the place before I got saved. I want this for a little while, but then as soon as I get a taste for this, I want this. And there's nothing solid. There's no real love. But then once Christ comes, you get saved. He puts his love within you. That is what's going to stand. So how do we properly protect our heart? I'll go through these verses real quick. As we talked about protecting your heart, well, how do we properly protect our heart? That goes into point number 5. We have to feed our heart. Feed our heart. Psalm 19:8a says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. It is the word of God, the statutes of the Lord, that you must feed your heart. Psalm 37:31, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The word of God will keep you standing when things get tough. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Having the word of God just so much to the point where we love it, where we desire it, that's what we want, is God and his word. That is what will keep us from sinning. Psalm 119:36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Love the word of God, and Proverbs talks about this as well, where now your heart is inclined to it. In other words, it's the natural go-to. When you questions arise or temptations arise or whatever it be, your heart is already just desired. It's programmed. It's inclined to the word of God, and you hear the word of God, and it helps you instantly. Develop that hunger. Proverbs 6:22-21, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. In other words, apply it continually. One feeding is not enough. It has to be consistent, daily, sometimes hourly, because we work in the world and there's so much worldly influence that we're under, and language and music and whatever it may be. So we've got to feed our heart continually. Proverbs 14:14, last verse. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. So just take that as a warning for all of us, myself included. The backslider, where? In heart. That's where backsliding starts. It's in our heart. It's in our desires. And as we talked about, where the heart goes, so goes the will sometimes, usually. And it's possible to backslide in our heart when others don't even know about it. But it says the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. So if that's what you want, that's what you'll get. But let us desire the right things. Incline our heart into the word of God, unto the law of the Lord, unto God himself, just knowing him. And that will keep us standing, keep us walking correctly. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much just for this lesson again on the heart, and this is the blessing it was to me to prepare it, and all the scriptures. Again, I didn't even touch the tip of the iceberg, and if we wanted to spend much more time on the heart, we could, but just thank you for what we were able to do in the time that we had, and I just hope and trust that it was a blessing to people and help us to think about how we use our heart, using it for your honor and your glory, and setting the correct desires of our heart. And we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.